Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello everyone, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is episode 6, I believe. I've stopped numbering them already. It didn't last long. I've been numbering them on the website, but as per recording, I'm not remembering to do that.
Days blend together.
Yeah.
Which saga are we in?
Oh, we're in the good old Imperfect Cell saga.
Ah, already.
Yeah.
So good. My favorite one.
The days that just fly by. My name is Tyler, and I am joined tonight by Jason.
Hello.
And Matt.
Hi.
Oh, jeez. We've wheeled Matt back out from the sick bed.
I'm alive.
We're very happy to have you back, and that you are feeling better.
Yeah, yeah. I lost my voice due to illness a few weeks ago, and it's been just a very slow process to come back.
We are all pulling for you, though. We've got our hands raised.
Raised to the sky to give you the energy.
Giving you the...
Gambate.
Gambate, indeed. This that you're listening to, dear listener, is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. Started by myself and my friends here, because we were watching, or at least some of us were watching Dragon Ball Super, and got the itch to revisit the good old days of Dragon Ball Z. Not the good old days of Dragon Ball. We skipped to Z. But we do intend to watch all of Z, filler included. I am watching the Funimation Uncut DVDs, and Jason and Matt, you are watching Funimation's Uncut dub on Funimation Now.
Yes.
Correct.
Let's talk about some more characters, because Jason, you still need some catching up as the person unfamiliar with Dragon Ball in our crew.
I super do. I mean, I'm still crawling through.
Yeah.
I haven't quite made it all the way to the character that I'm about to bring up, but he's a very prominent character in Z. I like him a lot. I just don't know about him or what the deal is necessarily, because I don't think he's ever explained. Tell me a little bit about Tien, or Tien Shinhan,
and his
tiny doll friend Chiaotzu.
Jason, I have very good news for you, because we happen to have with us Tien's number one fan, I think.
There's not much competition.
Yeah. Matt, do you want to take it away? Tell us a little bit about Tien and where he comes from.
So Tien is introduced as a member of the Crane School, which is the rival school to the Turtle School. Master Roshi's thing.
Cranes and turtles, as we know, hated rivals.
Natural enemies.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, long history between the leader of the Crane School and Roshi. Good blood, bad blood, everything in between. And Tien and Chiaotzu are basically introduced as evil counterparts to Goku and Krillin.
They're the Nega versions.
So, okay, so we're to understand that this tiny porcelain doll is anti-Krillin?
Uh-huh.
Basically. He All kicks right. the shit out of Krillin.
That kind
Down
of
to
rules.
Having exactly one hair.
Yeah, with telekinetic powers for some reason.
Oh.
He does not use in Z at all.
Got it.
He just kind of forgets. Also, it's kind of implied that he might be a vampire.
Chiaotzu is like that hopping vampire.
Yeah, he's the Chinese jumping vampire. That's where his design comes from.
And there's a Dragon Ball movie where he is referred to as a prince.
He's the emperor.
Yeah, emperor, yeah. There's a lot of mystery on Chiaotzu, because that's kind of all the information we have.
But he's...
everything that we just stated.
Human, right?
Maybe.
Maybe, okay. That's about as far as we got.
Believed to be.
Allegedly.
Tien might be human, we don't really know either.
Yeah, he does have that third eye that is not explained.
Yeah, no. Even in his, like, early introduction, they just kind of never address it, other than his, like, a better martial artist than Goku, but that's about it.
Like, he's got... I remember you saying that there are so many moves in the Dragon Ball Z-verse that Tien apparently starts doing way before everyone else and never gets any credit.
He uses a lot of them in his first fight with Goku at the World Tournament. One of the majors being Flight. He's one of the characters to fly. He uses the solar beam in that fight. I mean, not solar, solar flare. This is not Pokemon.
He charges for 3 turns, and then he has to rest.
He introduces the multiform technique, which we see later this episode.
Oh, well, that's right.
His is... we see him doing it. I was going to say, we've seen Piccolo making clones, but his is a little different.
Yeah.
his seemed to, like, physically rip out of his body.
We'll get to that in a little bit later.
Is there a pun for Tien's name? I need to know. And Japtude's name, I guess.
Tien Shinhan's Japanese name is a pun on Ten Shinden, a quasi-Chinese dish invented in Japan and consisting of crab meat omelet over rice. Always food.
That rules.
Toriyama was a hungry motherfucker.
If I had to describe Tien, that's exactly how I would.
Crab meat over rice.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up, by the way, I just looked up Jiaotzu's pun. Guess what? It's food. It's a pun on Jiaotzi. I'm probably super mispronouncing it. Otherwise known as gyoza or dumplings.
He's a little dumpling boy.
Yeah, he is. Adorable dumpling.
My sweet little dumpling son.
But yeah, they start out super evil. Like, they're assassins. Straight up. Yeah.
Chiaotzu does have the face of a killer, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Oh, he's even creepier when he's first introduced.
They also are practitioners of the anti-Kamehameha.
Oh, yes, the Dodon.
The Dodon Ray.
It's the Pepsi to Master Roshi's Coca-Cola.
Yeah, most of his current school techniques are designed to kill, because it's an assassin school. Obviously, after Goku eventually beats Tien, Tien becomes a good guy, and then he becomes a friend with Goku. Mm-hmm. Typical story.
He becomes a Z-Warrior.
Yes.
A secondary character.
He becomes a crucial part in the fight against King Piccolo, too.
That's true.
Huh.
Not to give away how far in advance we are recording these episodes, but Dragon Ball Super recently ended, and I think it was in even the last episode before the final one, Goku says a line that has stuck with me since reading it.
Yes.
The subtitles.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Go on.
I don't know it verbatim, but...
I do.
Go for it.
So Jiren attacks the stand in an attempt to kill Goku's friends and allies, and Goku stops, and he goes... I will never forgive anyone who attacks my friends.
Yeah, anybody who hurts my friends, I will never forgive. And literally every other teammate
I think
during
like
the Tournament
of Power.
There's
two people on that team that did not at one point be an enemy of Goku.
I'm gonna say one, and it's his son. And even that one's a bit of a stretch.
Uroshi. Krillin did start as a rival, but he never attacked any of Goku's friends.
Every friend that Goku has was a rival at some point.
Who, again, attacked Goku's friends.
Yes.
Maybe even killed them.
And Goku will never forget.
I mean, maybe I don't know. He might not have forgiven them.
That's going to be an epilogue grudge that he's carrying with him to the grave.
It's a twist ending. He's just been collecting them all.
This is also said mere moments before he teams up with Frieza and basically becomes best friends with him.
Spoilers.
My brain just flew 3 feet to the left.
Like, Frieza is on path to be a Z-Warrior, basically.
Yeah, the new Vegeta.
Yeah.
Who was the new Piccolo, who was the new Tien, who was the new Krillin, who was the new Yamcha.
Who was going to say the new Yamcha?
Oh, fuck, I forgot. Yamcha was a bad guy.
Matt, tell me some of your favorite Tien moves, other than the ones you've mentioned.
Yeah, what are his signatures?
Obviously, the Kikoho. Okay, the Tri-Beam is way up there, as it is a move with devastating force that sacrifices his own health in order to use it. The Dodon's great.
It's a classic.
I can't remember the name of the move, but his multi-arm technique, I was a big fan of that.
I'm looking at his move list on DB Moves, and it is referred to as Four Witches Technique.
Yeah, that's such a cool name. And unlike the multi-form technique, it's like the strength of each arm is still normal.
Yeah.
He gets to go Goro for free.
Is he the first one to do eye lasers?
Oh.
Because he's listed as having them.
Eye laser. Well, might be. Holy crap. Because the only other person I can think of is Piccolo.
At least from Dragon Ball, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and give it to him. He invented every ki attack.
He invented ki.
I also am a fan of the volleyball attack.
Oh, yeah.
The what now?
The volleyball attack. He uses the opponent as a ball, makes them fly with two hits before giving a final blow to stamp them into the ring.
It's pretty humiliating.
I think what I remember him most for is the solar flare technique.
Yeah, that was a big one. I think I'm also a big fan of the time where he completely just breaks Yamcha's arm.
Oh.
That's a pretty good one.
Yamcha smash.
Yamcha tries to step up to him and gets squashed so hard.
Any other questions, Jason, before we get going?
Is there a test after this?
Yeah, after all 200 some odd episodes of this podcast, I'm going to quiz you.
Shit.
And that is not a joke. I will try to remember to do that.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I feel like the show's big on making beams out of places that typically beams don't come out of. Like, we're all used to seeing hand beams.
Yeah.
Tien's like, hand beams? So yesterday. How's about an I-beam? How about that? And Piccolo's like, I-beams? Okay, sure, I can do that. How about a mouth beam, too?
Check this shit out.
Mouth beam is easily my favorite type of beam.
It's a great beam. I feel like it always
comes
from, like...
In the pantheon of beams?
I feel like it always comes from characters that are more monstrous, I guess, than human.
Yeah.
In all the various, like, movies or whatever, with all the random scary bad guys showing up, there's always someone who's got a mouth beam.
The ones I can take off the top of my head is Piccolo, Nappa, and Raccoon.
Raccoon has a mouth beam?
The eraser gun.
Oh, I can't wait.
I was thinking just to myself, because this is what I fucking do nowadays. I was thinking to myself about my top 10 Kamehamehas, or like my favorite times a Kamehameha has been used. And we can probably get into it at a later date when we've seen a few more in this show. But
that'd probably be a fun list to make.
Yeah, the time he used his goddamn feet is going to be hard to beat for me.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't fly yet, so he just Kamehameha'd out of his fucking feet.
We haven't really seen foot beams, have we?
Not really. I think that might be the only one that I remember anyway.
I would say that is the case.
Well, let's get into the episodes this week, guys. On this podcast, we have been watching 3 episodes per recording so that we can get through the show in a timely manner, and we're moving at a solid clip through the Saiyan Saga. They're almost here.
The announcer keeps telling me this, that they're almost here.
Every episode, basically, now starts with them, like, just looping around the same planet, I think.
Yeah.
Just taking a little power nap.
On their way. Oh, they're coming. Oh, watch out.
You're gonna be in trouble.
So this week we are covering episodes 16, 17, and 18, if you are following along at home.
Before we start our next episode, I want to just kind of push this this novel I've been reading about family units in the Dust Bowl. It's called Plight of the Children. Just kidding, it's actually the name of this episode.
Yep.
Lord of the oh.
Yeah, this is episode 16. The English title is Plight of the Children. Jason, do you happen to have the Japanese one pulled up?
I happen to have it. It is, Hurry, Gohan, longing for Mount Paotsu, where Chi-Chi waits.
Oh, okay.
It goes right to it.
Is that last bit in parentheses, in case you forgot that that's what his home's called?
It should be.
I did not know that his home
the
had
mountain
a name.
Had a name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm learning about shit like the Break Wasteland.
This episode begins with Gohan washing up on a beach to pick up from the cliffhanger of the last episode.
Not to be confused with the last beach that he washed up on, which is a different beach.
Different beach. This Separate is the beach. Good beach that's part of the landmass that he lives on.
Yeah.
Conveniently, very close to home.
He's found by 2 little dorks.
Yeah, one of them checks to see if Gohan is dead by putting his ear to his back. And saying,
I was gonna
oh.
say, he checks for his pulse in Gohan's butt.
Which,
and then chastises the other one for not knowing what that is.
Right.
He calls it the ear test. What are you listening for?
I like that their next step is to check for valuables.
They're resourceful.
I mean, he's dead. Might as well check if he had anything good on him.
They've played Elder Scrolls. They know what's
Time
up.
To loot.
These are definitely some Oliver Twist-assed orphans. Mm-hmm. They are all about the Robin.
Gohan wakes up very temporarily.
Because they are touching his sword.
Mm-hmm. Which he then passes out seconds later.
When he wakes up, he's in a bed in a sort of dilapidated house with these kids. He asks them, where are we? And they say, Jason, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, there's this little girl here who's got like the kind of the hair bun sort of like Chun-Li from Street Fighter. And she goes, we're here. Where's that? Says Gohan. And she says, here is wherever we happen to be at the time.
Very accurate definition.
Dropping some deep, like, existential bombs.
I'm Chico, and I live here.
I am Name, and this is my place.
We are greeted by Rom, I think, with an M, and Chico. Yeah, I just kept calling him Ron, because that's what I kept hearing. And they appear to live on their own. A huge tidal wave wiped out the whole town. It happened to orphan a lot of kids that lived there.
That is a dark turn that I was not expecting.
Yeah, this appears to be some kind of a... I mean, we explore this all the time. This world is full of horrible megafauna that will eat you as soon as you take two steps out of your front door. So now we're, like, literally seeing the ramifications of, oh, here's an actual disaster that actually tore apart a town.
Yo, gentlemen, I am here to present a darker turn.
Go ahead.
Piccolo did it.
I fucking knew it. I knew you were gonna say that.
With his goddamn natural disaster training.
Yes.
That he's been doing. Right. All of his tornadoes and earthquakes made a tidal wave destroy this town.
Look, if you want to beat a Saiyan, sometime you gotta break an omelet.
You gotta break a few Chicos.
Yeah.
Crack a few Rons.
And they'll just have to get used to not having parents.
Ram says that Gohan can hang out as long as he obeys this one rule, which is to never cry.
Chico breaks it all the time.
It's okay. The first rule about Orphan Club is that nobody cries in Orphan Club. If you cry in Orphan Club, get out.
But also, if you break the rule, no biggie.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Yeah, we're good.
We're all cool over here in Orphan Club.
A truck rolls up to the house that they're at. And Ram shouts, it's the goon squad. I don't know about you, but these adults look like they frequent something awful to me.
Yeah, whenever they're on screen, their voice actor just kind of gives a leering noise. Gonna get you.
It's kind of implied that the kids are wrong about this, and these people are just trying to help them.
Yeah, this plot is very much, here comes the big bad social workers.
But they go about it like total villains.
I mean, yeah.
And I'm just like, can you imagine if that was the norm? Like a doctor is just laughing maniacally while filling out your form for medication.
And hitting you?
Take two drops in the morning.
You go in for a checkup, and the entire time he's just sneering and hitting you with that little hammer on the knee.
Please, how's your family?
That's alarming. So
this is the best part of having a hoarse voice, by the way.
You could do evil doctor voices.
I could be so creepy.
Just voice up the goon squad, because here they are.
They chase the kids around this dilapidated building up to the roof. Ram swings across to a tree with Chico. Gohan does a very big jump to get into the tree, which surprises everybody.
They're so impressed.
Absolutely flabbergasted.
Gohan asks who these people are that are chasing them, and I think Chico, I don't remember who, I just wrote down the quote, one of the kids tells him, they're from the home where kids get spanked and yelled at.
Also, by the way, the lady that was driving the car, that's
Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
Oh, is that her voice?
Chi-Chi's voice.
Yeah. Just not even altered at all. Yeah. It's just Chi-Chi.
She's encapsulating the role.
Like, she just happened to be in the office that day.
We need a lady voice. We're not going to hire somebody new. God forbid.
Lord, no.
We got Chris Sabat doing, like, 8,000 voices.
Anyway, here's $10. Say two lines.
So an older kid shows up to save the day. He beats up all the adults. Guys, what is this kid's name?
Oh, doesn't matter, because his name is not Yamcha. His name is Non-Yamcha.
They say Non-Yamcha. It, like, twice, and I meant to write it down, but I forgot.
At first, I thought it was Figaro. But then it sounded like Picaro, and then later it sounded like Pigaro.
Third one's the charm. You're correct.
Pigaro.
It's actually Pigaro.
Okay. Why is his name Pigaro?
I don't know.
Why is that a name?
No clue. I'm not seeing anything on his wiki page.
No trivia?
No.
Either way, this is the most 80s hero design I have ever seen. It's got the headband, the little cheek bandage. The rolled up sleeves, tight ass jeans.
Yes!
He rolled out of Fist of the North Star.
Yup. Uh-huh.
He gets in an argument with the goon squad and shouts at them, if you want to bring us nice things, bring them over here! And then they drive away defeated.
Honestly, it's an attitude like that is how we got shit like Uber Eats and DoorDash. I don't want to go and get the good stuff. You bring it to my door.
So are you saying thank you, Pigaro?
Thank you.
Thank you, Pigaro, for all that
Thank
you've
you, Pigaro.
Done.
Thank you, Nut Yamcha.
Gohan gets inducted into Little Kid Fight Club. Because this next bit is just kind of a montage of them doing some stuff. And the kids are just wrestling, and Gohan is losing his mind laughing.
Yeah.
This rules!
He loves watching these kids fight.
To be fair, this might be the first, like, friend he's ever had.
First other kid he's ever met.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's four. He's never seen another kid.
Yeah.
What's a child? I don't understand. What are these
games?
He's
only ever seen people who can blow up mountains with their brains.
The only other kid he's ever seen is Krillin, and he's just short.
I'm not allowed to point that out, though. Mom says I can't.
I also like, during this montage, it just shows a shot of Gohan and Piccolo at the top of a building, just like waving their arms and laughing and yelling.
They're playing a screen game.
These are not creative children.
Filler is an interesting beast where sometimes you get really creative stuff, like Snake Princess and all that. And sometimes they're just like, we literally don't know what these kids should be doing. Just chew up some footage of them laughing. I don't know. Gohan very briefly becomes an artful dodger with these kids and helps them steal from a nearby marketplace.
True. This nearby populated market just 2 miles away from this abandoned, devastated, wrecked town.
The tidal wave ghost town?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these might just be people that evacuated.
It could have been.
I don't know how that works. I've never been evacuated.
I prefer to think they just ignored the tsunami that happened next door to them.
No mm-hmm. aid was given whatsoever.
They're just like, whoa, that was close.
Didn't even bother to check if kids were over there.
Yeah.
What alarms me is that there's a few shots of the van, of the social worker van driving up to there. And they have to navigate around this crack in the path, and there's a clearly like worn treads of dirt where they've clearly like made this run dozens of times.
It's been happening for weeks, daily. Dear listener, if you were appalled by the vision of these children stealing from a marketplace, fear not, because justice is on the case.
It's Officer Hoverhound.
Dog Cop is here to save the day.
He's got to get those kids. Now watch this drive.
Dog Cop arguably does a worse crime because he tears a woman's whole dress off with his car.
He runs into the most destructible dress ever crafted.
I'm so glad we're talking about this because I had to watch that like 3 times to try to figure out what happened.
How did he even physics that? It's the whole thing.
They could have stopped with like the Monroe homage. And just wind it up. Yeah, or given us upskirt if fan service was what they were going for.
Briefly in this kid-oriented episode.
It just gets absolutely shredded by the wind.
I have a note here. During the chase sequence, there's a... I like to pay attention to signs and parts of the background that have painted letters on them.
Oh, please do, because I always ignore those.
Oh, I love those. They pass by some kind of grocery store or something, and we can only tell by the sign, which is painted, Welcome to Doi Mart. D-O-I Mart.
The kids manage to escape Dog Cop. And again, I don't remember which of the two interchangeable kids say it, but somebody mentions to Gohan, we're a family, isn't that great? And Gohan responds with, yeah, sure.
Yeah, whatever.
It's very dismissive.
Not an orphan, but cool.
I mean, only one of my parents is alive, but the other one's on his way back, so...
Jake, people can come back from the dead.
Why don't you just wish your parents back with the Dragon Balls, idiots?
That's what my mom does all the time.
Have you never collected the Dragon Balls?
God... I had one on my hat for a bit.
Gohan decides he's going to sneak out at night because he feels a little bad about hanging out with these orphans because he has a family and he's got a job to do. So he's going to get to it. But Piccolo was up staying up watch at night because sometimes the goon squad has come back at night, he says. He mentioned something very interesting for the world building. I don't know if you guys made note of it. Or I think he does. Again, I just wrote down the quotes. Don't know what kid said it. Somebody says, all of these big cities have only been around for 100 years. Before that, it was all farms.
Yeah, that's, I wrote that down. It's one of the kids. He's the kid with the blue uniform and, like, the sideways hat.
Mm-hmm. Talking about homework. Kids didn't have to do homework 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Okay. That can't be right.
And Goku is only 25. So when Goku was a kid, cities had only existed for 75 years.
The concept of cities.
Yeah.
And we already had hovercrafts by that point.
Right. Basically, Dr. Briefs invented civilization, it sounds like.
Pretty much, because all those houses and buildings are all like capsule core design.
I've always found it weird just how much money the Brief family has, but as I'm rewatching this, I'm starting to understand like what a debt humanity has to them.
Yeah, he is the Illuminati.
Yeah, I think we might be onto something. I think Dr. Brief is responsible for civilization in the world of Dragon Ball.
And he elected a dog as president.
They're close friends.
A figurehead, some might say.
Or King Furry, rather. I keep calling him president. He's definitely a king.
my ongoing theory. Here we go. I'm building this in medias res. You can't really build houses in the Dragon Ball universe because you've got fucking monsters everywhere who will stamp on it immediately before you've laid the first brick down. So we've had to hide out in this society until Dr. Brief invented capsules where you could just poof a house into existence.
Yeah. Or unpoof it if you need to move it very quickly.
Yeah, if you need
like
to pack
up your
shit.
Like if a dinosaur is about to step on it.
If you need to pack up your shit and go. Ah, this is perfect.
Shit. You know what? I'm thinking back now to, in Dragon Ball, they kind of go into Roshi's youth.
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, there's no shots of cities at all. Like, everything is very, like, villagey. I think this might be 100% valid.
We're building a canon.
Canon. Dr. Brief's invented civilization.
As we know it.
It's the only explanation.
Gohan tells these kids that he's not actually an orphan, and they acquiesce, saying, like, yeah, we never really asked. We just kind of assumed.
Yeah, they're pretty cool with it, you know? They're asking Gohan what his mom is like, and Gohan has these qualities to mention about her.
Mm-hmm.
She is sweet, she is pretty, and she makes me study a lot.
But she lets me play sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, you can play sometimes. Yes. Rightly so, not often, because he just wanders off into the woods. The kids decide to help Gohan get back to his home, so they need to steal a car to get him there.
Yes. Makes sense to me.
Their plan is to steal it from the Goon Squad, but mm-hmm. when the Goon Squad shows up, they've decided to bring the cops with them this time.
Which you think they would have done that a long time ago.
Like the second attempt.
Yeah.
Officer Hoverhound is out for blood.
Yeah, it's just a vendetta for them.
Gohan headbutts a man, because that's like his move.
It's his trademark.
That's the Son Goku
right
special.
Right in the stomach.
Yep.
Yep.
It doesn't count if it's not in the torso.
I also made note that during this scuffle between the kids and the adults, he drastically escalates things because he draws his sword.
Yeah, he draws a live blade.
My note says that Gohan has just committed a federal crime.
Yeah, no kidding.
Pulled a knife on a cop.
Didn't get to that chapter in his history book yet.
No, but it's okay because it's just to cut off the handcuff. That was...
Yeah.
Handcuffing Piccolo.
He and Piccolo make their escape, and they leave all the other kids behind.
They fucking ghost them completely in a separate car that just happened to be there at the time.
I want to say Piccolo even makes eye contact with one of the other orphans.
He definitely does, because he also does, like, some brief flashbacks, talking, like, remembering, oh, Gohan has a mom. And, like, the lady said, don't these other kids want to have a nice house? So he decides, yes, they do.
Easter Egg has an existential crisis in the middle of this fucking scuffle. So he just books it with Gohan.
And just takes the car.
Gohan gets out of the car and asks, like, why did you do that after they pull over? And Piccolo decided that he couldn't care for the little kids anymore. So he decided to just abandon the responsibility altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knocks the shit out of Gohan.
Completely decks this child. Well, you know, this could be like a thematic thing, right? Because Nanyamcha is crying at the end of it because he's admitting that he can't take care of all of them. And if you cry, you can't be an orphan club anymore.
That's true.
Mm.
He's just playing by the rules. Mm-hmm. Self-imposed.
Exactly.
Just those rules, though.
He's got a very good quote. I'm curious if either of you wrote it down.
Is it, you're a bad dude for real, Gohan?
You're one bad dude for real. Later.
To the max. To the maximum.
The English dub is very good.
And then he just rides off in a stolen vehicle.
Yep.
With tears streaming behind his face.
What a hero.
The hero we all need and deserve.
Steal cars. Don't give a shit. Punch kids.
Sounds like he's a shoo-in for the School of Satan.
Oh, man.
Stay the fuck tuned.
He's driving in that direction, I'm gonna say.
All right. Make a note.
Gohan makes it back home, conveniently, stopped at the mountain that he lived at. Chi-Chi does not appear to be doing well, you guys, being on her own. She's just kind of randomly slapping books and catching photos in her mouth.
She is near catatonic.
She's interacting with outside stimulus in curious ways.
Some would argue this, yeah.
Gohan decides it's not time to go home just yet.
Now, I do remember this, because I remember, like, being a kid and being like, You made it. Just
go say hi.
Just go say hi.
Yeah, just let her know what's going on, at least.
Let her know you're alive.
But no, he just runs off.
It's all right, because her mom tuition kicks in, and yeah. She senses that he was probably nearby.
I kind of feel like, since she used to be a martial artist, probably just sensed his energy.
Ah, her key sense. Speaking of key sense, guess who else just decided to show up?
I feel like he was just watching the whole time. I really hope he was.
Did you guys write down this quote? Because this episode was very quotable for me. I was just having a great time listening to the English dub and all of the nonsense they wrote for it.
Later.
Piccolo looks down on Gohan and he shouts at him, "Gohan, what is your mission? Say it!"
It is almost Conan in quality.
What is best in life, Gohan?
Collecting the Dragon Balls.
Defeating the Saiyans. Seeing the lamentation of their women.
Let's move right along then to episode 17, English title, Pendulum Room Peril. Jason, do you have the Japanese?
Sure do. The original Japanese title is City of No Tomorrow, The Long Road to Victory.
That's poetic.
That's fucking dystopian.
Yeah. A little unnecessary since it's just Planet Vegeta.
their idea of what it would be like anyway?
I'll never tell.
The narrator starts off a little judgy this episode.
Yeah.
He's recapping the events of the last episode, and he says, "Common sense took over," regarding Gohan's choice to keep training instead of saying hi to his mom.
Because I'm still of the opinion that this narrator is Gohan trying to narrate his audiobook.
That is a canon fact that we established a couple episodes, Matt, is that DBZ is Gohan's memoirs being audiobooked by Great Saiyaman.
That makes sense. An announcer is adult Gohan's voice actor.
Yeah. Kyle Hebert. Gohan's real training with Piccolo begins now. They're sparring partners.
This is what confused me. If my math is correct, I thought that Gohan was supposed to be going Breath of the Wild for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
fending for himself, and then train the last six, right?
Yep.
But the training starts to happen, and Piccolo says, "Guess what, fucker? The Saiyans are now 3 months away."
Yeah, I'm not sure if that is supposed to indicate that we've skipped 3 months of Gohan's training, or if they started wicked late.
Mm-hmm. It could have been. I mean, he was washed up on an island or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
He's blown off course.
He went on a boat adventure, and Piccolo looked down at his watch, and he was like, "Oh shit, I had stuff to do."
3 months, fuck.
I don't remember if it's this episode or the next one. Piccolo says a line where he's, "I'm not strong enough to fight a Saiyan yet. I need to train more." And I think to myself, well, no shit, but you've just been training him.
Yeah, you need to train at all. All you've done has been lift a pyramid and start a tornado.
You've literally just been beating up a kid for months.
The B Squad, or the Z Fighters as they're known, is still training up on Kami's palace.
I made a note that Krillin, Tien, Yamcha, Chiaotzu, and Yajirobe are going through training that Goku went through when he was 12.
Yep. just gotta get the basics. The fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
Krillin complains that they're not really learning anything new by doing this, and Kami gives Krillin a wicked stink eye.
Oh my god.
And they ask to be taught what Goku learned while he was here, to which Kami says...
You gotta say it the way he said it.
Yeah, I wrote it down the way that he said it.
Good.
"I taught Goku nothing!"
And then last maniacally turns around and leaves.
Guys, I feel a little... Earth is not in a good shape right now.
No. Kami's just like fucking thrown both of his hands into the world. Fuck it. This planet's doomed.
Goku left and we all just started crumbling.
But he's also not lying to them because he didn't. He just kind of watched Popo train him.
Popo drops some Zen riddles, some koans on the Z Warriors. Something about like to truly master their training, they need to truly know themselves or something.
Right. They need to know themselves and their enemy or something.
And then he just roasts the fuck out of Yamcha.
Oh my god.
Very sick burns.
Oh, I felt the heat through the monitor.
Exactly.
What was Yamcha's line?
It was Yamcha was getting all up in Popo's face like, "Hey, what do you mean I don't know myself? I know myself super good," or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
Popo's
yeah.
like, "Well then,
I'm Yamcha.
Why don't you know how weak you are?"
No, I don't know. You know that you are weak.
Yeah, it's not even how weak you are, it is that you are weak.
That you are weak in general.
Popo takes the Z team to the pendulum room and says this is where Goku did most of his training.
Is that true? Did that happen? I don't think it happened.
Wait, Yes, yes. Really? He does some physical training with Popo, but then he goes to the meeting room and goes back in time to basically, was it fight Roshi?
Yeah, is that when he meets young Roshi?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I wouldn't say it's most, though, but that might just be me being pedantic.
I just wanted to make sure that this room had, like, a precedent.
It was more for, like, a maturity training, though, than anything. Like, Goku kind of grows mature. Well, as far as Goku can go.
Yeah. There's limits on that.
Mm-hmm. He gains a decimal of wisdom.
So what that effectively means, viewers, is that Dragon Ball Z has a holodeck, and this is it.
Kami's lookout has a lot of wild shit. That
just crazy rooms.
And it really needs to be used a lot more.
Oh, we'll get the fuck to that, won't we?
Mm-hmm. They are sent back in time to a distant planet long in the past.
Except for Yajirobe.
Right. He sits out.
Yajirobe is good out here.
He says, and I quote, "I am not a guinea pig." And then he sits the fuck out.
You know, there comes to be a level of maturity to just know where you stand on the power scaling.
Yeah, honestly, Yajirobe is to be commended for just not sticking his nose in stuff that doesn't concern him anymore.
I have a sword, and, like, that's about as far as I thought it through.
I'm here to help, maybe. We'll see.
This planet seems to have been decimated by a large-scale battle, and I think we are to presume that it is Planet Vegeta.
It is decked out with a bunch of skeletal Saiyans that still have their ape tails.
It is later specifically stated to be Planet Vegeta.
When, Matt, or Jason, if you have thoughts, when in Vegeta's timeline do you think this takes place?
We've seen Planet Vegeta a lot, and it's never in ruins, so I really don't know.
Maybe this could be like an alternate universe thing?
Well, yeah, I definitely don't think that it is accurate in its portrayal.
No.
They're wearing what we later know is Frieza Force armor, the Saiyan armor design.
Yeah, specifically the same one that Raditz wears.
Yeah.
Including the, like, armband and thigh band.
Right. Yeah. Right down to the armbands.
All the details.
Because the animators just presumed, or the production managers at least presumed, that's what Saiyans do.
Yeah, that's what Saiyans look like.
We could ask Toriyama, but...
Nah, yeah. He's busy. I didn't know if this was supposed to be when they had sort of done a coup to take over the planet from the Tuffles.
Going by GT timeline.
Oh, that's it could far be. Removed from me.
Or if this was supposed to be when Frieza was blowing it up. I don't know.
It'd probably be kind of on fire.
Yeah. In any case, there are dead Saiyan skeletons everywhere, and some spooky Saiyans in the distance spot them walking around.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was moving, but it was definitely something.
Do we know these dudes' names?
I don't.
I'm going to briefly look this up. I'm sure that the Wikia has something.
If not, we can name them.
How many vegetables are left?
They actually do have names. Okay, so their English names are Shorty and Scarface.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So that's great. But, oh, wow, that's amazing. Okay, so buckle up, kids. We're Please. Still on vegetables because their Japanese names are Brocco and Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
That's really creative.
Brocco appearing years before Broly would be conceived.
I mean, there's no rule you can't use the same vegetable twice.
That's true. He just hasn't yet.
Vegeta is literally just all vegetables.
And also, there's another Vegeta.
Tarbles.
Shit, I was actually just referring to his dad.
Oh, yeah, King Vegeta. Not his brother Tarbles.
I love Tarbles so much.
Why'd you have to say that? He's spiritually replaced in Super.
I was going to say, he's just Kaba anyway.
Yeah.
Who is a much better character. But yes. That's a long way away. Chiaotzu is the first to get attacked.
Oh, yeah. Another roasting.
Yeah.
Literally,
this time, literally, yeah.
Jesus.
He gets melted.
Yeah! And I made a note of this. He gets melted right before a commercial break. So we see this hand, the Saiyan hand, gripping Chiaotzu's head, holding him up, and we see steam coming off of it. And we see Chiaotzu screaming in pain, and then...
Chiaotzu does not warrant a cliffhanger. They just tell you right away, yeah, he's done, he's melted. We'll be right back after these messages.
Chiaotzu fucking bit it. Anyway, buy these toys, kids.
This ticks off Tien, because Tien is very fond of Chiaotzu. They're inseparable. He tries to get in some chops, but he is totally outmatched by both fighters.
They get that steamed hand. Trick again.
Yamcha tries out the spirit ball. I think this is the first time we've seen it. Does it show up in Dragon Ball?
He specifically called it the spirit bomb.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that coming up as a kid, too.
Wait a minute.
I think that is just straight up a translation error.
It has to be.
But, I mean, it's the same concept of just gathering energy into a place, into an orb, and then sending that somewhere and having some way to control it.
I was going to say, they don't really operate the same way, but they kind of do, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Just on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Like, the spirit bomb just moves a lot slower.
Mm-hmm. And destroys evil.
Quote-unquote.
Yeah.
The spirit bomb does nothing. Or spirit ball. Damn it, I'm going to do it now.
Much like most of Yamcha's attacks, it does nothing.
Krillin gets nabbed by the classic Saiyan old bug in the ground trick.
Before that, I wanted to point out when they're all like kind of sitting in amazement at the Saiyans, you can kind of see Krillin at the bottom of the screen just fucking running away.
Mm-hmm.
He takes two back steps and then just books it.
Jason, you said he gets nabbed. Krillin gets fucking horror movied into the floor.
Jesus. Yeah. He gets grabbed by the ghoulies. This Saiyan pops out of the fucking floor, grabs him, and then we just hear like 30 straight seconds of Krillin being brutalized off screen by these two Saiyans while Yamcha is watching.
Just eviscerated.
Go help them. Why are you just... There's a giant hole right beside you. You could go down there and find him and help. Or you could just look through the tiny hole and just be like, oh, shit.
Tien comments on the Saiyans asking, they're immortal?
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, Tien, you just kind of suck right now.
You're just bad.
You're not strong enough to do anything to them.
He thinks very highly of himself at the moment.
That is true.
Clearly, they just can't die.
Yeah, it's the only...
This is the point where we learn that this is Planet Vegeta, because apparently they discourage tourism here.
This is true.
And another great quote, my grandmother can gather energy faster than that, says one of the Saiyans.
She's one tough cookie.
Now, Tien does a impressive tactic here, which is to make a bunch of clones of himself who all do the tri-beam at once.
A tri-tri-beam.
Yep.
A legitimately good move that he'll never do again.
Well, it didn't work here.
True.
That's probably why he never used it again. Yeah. Like, well, fuck.
That's just negative reinforcement.
Exactly.
We get another spirit ball, same animation.
Yeah, yep. I made a note here of, I'm not sure what's happening, but God, there's a lot of rubble.
They do literally no damage again, and then Yamcha and Tien are torn apart by the Saiyans.
They're torn apart by their triangle beams. Not to be confused with tri-beams.
Nasty looking energy beams that I don't think we ever see again, which is a shame because they're cool looking.
These Saiyans honestly have a very unique moveset that never comes back.
It's a bummer.
Probably because it's filler, but still.
But don't worry, dear listeners. 'Twas all a dream.
It's a pretty bad dream.
Yeah, it's a rough dream to wake up from.
I just looked up their horrible triangle beam that tears apart the Z-Fighters.
Yep.
It's got a name.
Please.
It's called the Kankosen.
Kankosen.
Comes from Kan, penetrate, or pierce, light. Ugh. Ko, which is light, and then Sen, which is a beam.
Okay, so kind of straightforward.
Stabbing light beam.
That's genuinely badass. I'm kind of salty.
Yeah,
this
I'm
is
into
my
it.
Pokey Beamo.
Only shows up in one episode and never again.
And I'll even say the Saiyan designs are admittedly also pretty cool.
I'm not super interested in the shorter guy with the scar on his face, but the other one's got a cool hairdo.
Oh, that's Brocco.
Yeah.
The shorter one?
The hairdo guy is Brocco, and the
okay,
scar...
Okay, so the scar guy is Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Pumpkin.
I'm more of Team Brocco myself.
You're outnumbered, Matt. We win.
You know, Brocco has his positive qualities.
Team Brocco.
Y'all ever read that really good Brocco Pumpkin slash fic that was popular in the mid-2000s? What was that ship name? Punko?
Punko?
Yeah.
Brocken?
I cannot support this.
If the pod is a Brocken, don't come a-knockin'.
Oh my god.
All right, I'm leaving. Bye.
Well, it was great having you.
Yeah, get some rest. We'll see you next time. Popo informs the warriors that they were in dream bodies and that a dreamlike past, just to make a point of, yo,
not
these
real.
Saiyans are strong, and the ones that are coming are twice as strong.
Yep.
And the Z-Warriors sign their lives away, because they're like, we're going to keep training anyway.
It does fuck them up for a couple seconds, though.
They have a strong resolve.
Well,
that's why they're the Z-Warriors.
Because they're the last line of defense until Goku shows up.
Literally cannon fodder. Episode 18, the last for this week, is called The End of Snake Way.
The original title here is called The Last Stop on Serpent Road. Are you the King of All Worlds? Or the King of the Worlds.
Guys, we've made it.
The end of Snake Way!
We just have to slog through this very bad episode first.
Yeah, we only actually get to the end of Snake Way once we reach the end of Snake Way.
I'm going to preface by saying there were some Gohan episodes that I was less than keen on. They were just kind of boring to me, like Mr. Robot and all that stuff. I actively dislike this episode.
Yeah.
This one was a waste of my time.
This is a weak one.
Especially since it's just, we did this already.
Yeah. To the point where I'm pretty sure Piccolo says a thing again that he already said before.
Although it does give me an interesting insight into the whole Saiyan culture thing, and we'll get to that in a moment.
So the episode opens with a space pod that keeps saying over and over, "Wake up, Kakarot, destroy all life forms."
Which is my new alarm.
It's a good alarm.
Same, actually.
Like, get up and start your day. I'm going to go through my notes as I wrote them, because I was super confused by this episode.
Yeah, a lot happens and not a lot of it makes sense.
Yeah, so Gohan is starting to get tricksy with Piccolo, pulling some fast ones on him, pretending to cry and then jumping out of the way, which is not a great trick, but...
Oh, that Wily Gohan.
Yeah, at least he's trying some tactics. And I made note of a moon mistake, because as we remember, the moon was destroyed, and there it is big in the sky again. Those background designers, what are they doing?
Goofy. Absolutely goofy.
Turns out, you're stupid.
Yeah, it turns out I'm an idiot. Gohan is asleep, and he is dreaming of a very big fruit pile. And this is the one redeeming quality of this episode, because he holds up a pineapple, and it reminds him of Uncle Raditz.
He's got pineapple PTSD.
I mean, of the fruits, that's the one, right?
Yeah.
Well, it could be a radish.
Well, that's not a fruit, that's a vegetable.
Gohan doesn't believe in those. Yeah, he wakes up and goes into a full-blown, like, rage?
It's like a berserker state.
He goes feral.
And my next note was Gohan's in a double dream, because I just assumed, like, this was just another dream layer.
Same. I thought that was happening because the moon was out and he was going crazy.
And the pod is chanting, so I knew that had some involvement. Gohan is attacking Piccolo, and I'm like, wait, is this Piccolo's dream? Who's dreaming?
And the sky's all fucked up and purple looking. You think this is just some weird layered thing.
Also, his tail's back now?
Yeah, and he has his tail grown back.
That thing is a weed. Like, how long did it take Goku's tail to come back?
In Dragon Ball?
Yeah.
Well, how long did he train with Roshi for before the tournament? He and Krillin.
I have no idea. It was definitely more than a year.
Yeah, it must have been at least a year. So maybe it's not that far off. Maybe his is just a little bit quicker.
It's that human, the human blood.
That is no. Amplifying
it's
his...
It's the S cells.
Exactly.
The what now?
The S cells.
Okay.
Piccolo splits himself in two to fight against Gohan. And apparently the two bodies have separate consciousnesses.
Yes!
Because they talk to each other.
Be sure to take note of that. I really wish the second Piccolo actually pulled out a notepad. Maybe a pair of glasses.
Mm-hmm. We get a line coming up, which is prompted by Piccolo's discovery. He says, "The moon? How'd that get back up there?" So, like, the characters are realizing that this is fucked up, too. Okay.
Yeah, and we get even more confirmation that something weird is going on with the moon, because we go over to Kame House for a bit, where everybody is celebrating having gathered all the Dragon Balls.
Dragon Radar, where we carefully and meticulously track each and every Dragon Ball in its journey. Turns out they're all in one fucking place.
Yep.
Got them all. All right. Dragon Rider over.
Oolong makes a cogent point about shower safety.
Yeah.
He needs the little suction cup thing so he doesn't fall.
Yeah, you don't want to fall. They make those for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Those accidents happen in the home, people. You need to stay safe. Don't slip.
You can die in the shower, people.
Roshi notes that the moon is strange because there's no moonlight. And I don't know how this works. Like, it's just the shape of the moon in the sky, but the light's not coming off of it.
And then Bulma smiles about it.
Well, that's because the credits theme to Dragon Ball was playing in her head as she looked at the moon.
She's just wistfully remembering back in the day when she would look at the moon all the time every week.
I was like, no, Bulma, this is a bad thing.
No, this is weird and bad and we don't like it.
So, guys, fill me in. What's going on with the moon?
The moon is back. Gohan looks at it and does a big holler and turns into an ape.
Yeah, because we got to do this sequence again.
Even though we've established that it has to be moonlight for them to transform into an ape.
Uh-huh. Really? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Specifically the light from the moon.
Ah, but there's no moonlight, says Roshi.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Strictly stated.
So while Gohan's doing his monkey shenanigans that I am already bored of, what's going on with the moon? Where's it coming from?
Also, I also want to point out, Goku's ship shouldn't be there. It crashed over where Gohan, like Grandpa Gohan, lives. Why is it?
I gave them the benefit of the doubt on this one because Goku still lives in the same area. It's the same mountain.
Yeah, that could be.
Paozu Mountain, or however it is pronounced. I gave them enough like wiggle room to fudge that pod nearby because he was close to Chi-Chi last episode, so they...
The terrain is completely different, but...
I was able to give them enough suspension of disbelief to say, yeah, okay, they're near that pod, whatever.
I'm just going to go ahead and say this whole sequence is nothing in it is good.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Everything is wrong.
It's super goofy, but here's why the moon's back, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you. Turns out that that alarm, that is the good alarm of Destroy All Life Forms Kakarot, is also a projector, and it's projecting an image of the moon onto... nothing.
Sky.
Oh, sky.
So this could make, like, a semblance of sense, right?
Yeah, actually, I kind of liked this detail, because it makes me think, okay, we need to have this planet... The Saiyans are like, okay, we need to have this planet cleared out of all life so that we can colonize it, sell it, whatever... But we're sending a baby who doesn't know how to fight.
We're putting infants in these pods.
Yeah, specifically.
We need to give them a leg up.
What we're going to do is we're just going to broadcast the moon for them and then tell them to destroy shit. So as soon as they wake up, it is ape time. And that I kind of like.
The only wrinkle to that is that this pod, which is like 26 years old at this point, somehow still has power. Is still doing its alarm and has started to project a moon, a thing it hasn't done for 26 years.
Ever before. Yeah. That
The timer was off by a little bit.
They miscalculated.
So basically, whoever programmed this ship has saved planet Earth through their ineptitude.
Yeah, basically. Straight up.
It was famous Saiyan scientist Bardock. Programmed all the ships for them. Known scientist.
The one who created a technique that creates moonlight.
Right, that's how he knew to do the projection in the ship that he did wrong.
That does not project moonlight.
This filler also kind of gives us the notion that it's the first time we've seen transformations happen with fake moons, with non-moons.
Yeah. Right.
Which is like an interesting, I think, plot point.
It is a preamble to later events.
Yes.
You might call it a teaser.
Indeed. Mm. A poor one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Piccolo gets this thing out of my face so I never have to think about it again. Thank you, Big Green.
Thank you, Big Green.
The special beam cannon might be a bit excessive.
Well, but... he's still he wants to keep training in the middle of this.
Special beam cannon.
Big Green uses the whole buffalo. He says, "Sleep well, kid, you're gonna need it," which I think he said the last time he pulled out Gohan's tail. I might be wrong, but that sounded super, like, deja vu familiar to me.
I will assume you are correct.
And finally, we get to the part of the episode that the episode's called.
Weird. Here it is. The end of Snake Way.
The part that's not filler.
Right.
It's really easy to tell.
Goku is delirious with joy at seeing the end of Snake Way.
I like that his very first act is to just fall off.
Once again, almost eats shit and goes to hell.
Yep.
Immediately.
The two steps. Eat shit, go to hell.
I wrote, Snake Way is like the Dark Soul of roads. In that most people would get to the end of this and just fall off because they don't think to look up.
Yeah, and then have to start over.
Yeah, they didn't read the writing on the ground.
I want a number of how many people have got to the end and then fell off.
This makes me like Goku even less, because he didn't even take out his fucking soapstone and leave a message for the next person. What a prick.
Fall ahead.
Try jumping.
Hang in there, skeleton.
he does manage to look up, though, and he notices a tiny planet in the distance, and he hops his way up there.
And then the gravity hits him.
This planet appears to be very dense, because it has very strong gravity.
Comedically strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is comedically strong gravity. He absolutely just plummets onto the surface.
And I enjoyed every single second that takes place after this.
Yeah, it's really good.
Goku sees a monkey walking around, and he just assumes that that's King Kai.
Once again, the first functioning human, like, functioning life form he sees on this road, he assumes to just be King Kai.
Now, I want to say, there's precedent here. The first deity he ever meets is a cat.
You went through the exact same place I did, because I was going to say, this might be strange to a layman, but he was trained by a cat before, so he's used to seeing weird shit.
Really?
When he gets trained.
Are you referring to Korin?
Yep, when he climbs up Korin Tower.
I have to ask about that next time.
So at the very end of this episode, Funimation decides to open a huge can of worms for me, because apparently Isaac Newton exists and Goku is familiar with his work.
Yes! Goku knows. Because, yeah, this ape that he thinks is King Kai hands him a fruit, which is not special Goku fruit for Goku. Just a regular blue apple. It immediately, like, drills a hole into the center of the planet.
Which would have killed Isaac Newton.
Knocked him flat. But Goku will not be deterred, and he catches that second one.
He ain't no bitch like Isaac Newton.
Nuh-uh. So the monkey starts dancing around, as monkeys are wont to do.
Goku see, Goku do.
Yeah, so Goku decides this is training. And, like, again, probably not wrong.
Yeah.
Like, no. At least for a warm-up, this would be difficult.
Yeah, you're engaging your delts. You're working your core.
There's a lot of muscle work going on.
Yeah.
Shoulders.
With that high gravity.
When you're doing all the hooting and hollering, and you're like, you're exercising your diaphragm.
Yeah, everything's getting the workout.
He was getting very into it, I have noted. He does love himself a big holler.
That is the one kind thing I can say about Goku, is that he puts his all into everything that he does.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. He does end up meeting the real King Kai, who's a stubby little blue man in very cool shades.
Yes, I love this character a lot.
Jason, fashion. We haven't had much this week.
Not a lot.
Give me something.
We need something to go on. What can I say? It's King freaking Kai. He's a sweet... He's my favorite boy. He's got the hat. He's got the robe. I think his the robe insignia is like, I forget specifically. It's like probably like King of the Worlds, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm.
So you're feeling his antenna yarmulke.
Yeah. What is that? Is that a hat?
Yeah. What's the deal with him?
Does he have antenna? Is that just part of his head?
Oh, they wiggle, don't they?
Yeah, they do move.
And it is implied that's the source of his ability to speak cyclically to people.
Across galaxies.
Is he, like, based on, like a catfish or something?
That's what I always thought, thanks to the whiskers by his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a similar look.
But also, that's a thing that Toriyama likes to do a lot anyway, so who knows?
Here's one question I have. Do you think Toriyama knew from the very start that King Kai's planet was going to be, like, not necessarily a side mission or filler, but was going to actually be a super vitally important setting that a lot of plot critical stuff takes place on?
Jason, I think I might be speaking out of turn. Matt, you can correct me if you think otherwise, but I think you could ask that question about literally any aspect of Dragon Ball, and the answer would be no.
I think he designed it and he thought, this is a really fun little planet. I'm going to keep using it.
Like, Vegeta was not supposed to make it out of this storyline.
Really?
I know Toriyama likes drawing vintage vehicles.
Yep.
And that probably played a big part in this planet showing up a lot.
He's got that very shiny Cadillac.
That's all I have for the last episode this week. Any final thoughts about this episode or King Kai?
I'm waiting for more. I need more Kai. Not to be confused with Dragon Ball Z Kai.
Right.
Yeah.
You need more Kaioken.
I will say, I've always been kind of confused by the Funimation's decision for King Kai's English voice.
Really?
It is so wildly different from his Japanese voice.
that is accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tonally so different that it kind of makes him a different character.
For a minute, when I was watching Super... Japanese voices were the only thing I had access to at the time, and Japanese King Kai threw me for a loop.
I stand by the decision on this one.
No, I do love Sean's interpretation.
Yeah,
it's just bizarre.
It is very. Like, I can see inspired. Where he came to that conclusion looking at a picture. Like if somebody handed him a design and they're like, "What does this guy sound like?" Like I can see the thought process that gets you there.
Yeah, like, oh, he likes jokes, so I'm gonna do this voice for him.
He's a weirdo. And it still suits him to an extent, I think.
But the whole thing about him liking jokes and being a weirdo, it's, yeah. I think, funnier when he's played straight.
Right. I think that's what they were going for, even.
Yeah, in the original version. Like, again, I'm not knocking it. It's just, again, it's just so... I'll never be able to figure out why.
I'm also just a big fan of voice actors talking to themselves.
Yeah.
In different voices, which is another reason why I love the Dragon Ball Z dub, because it's mostly just Chris and Sean doing voices at each other or themselves.
So is this Goku talking to Goku right now?
Sure, yes. Is.
Yeah, it's great. That's good.
We have made it to the end of another Destructo Discourse, but before we go, it's time to hail Satan.
Hey, Satan. What's going on?
How's it going, Satan?
How's it been?
Marky Mark. How's Videl?
Can you catch me up on what I missed?
Yeah. Well, what do you remember?
Oh, boy.
You got to the porn part, right?
No.
Really?
I only did the first two episodes, remember? I have been gone for a long time. The last thing I remember is he had joined the Satan school and is, like, promising, and he lives with Bacterion.
Yeah, okay.
We'd walked so that back a little bit.
Yeah, we did retcon the next episode. We decided he needed a source of income before he could join the Satan Dojo, because as a WWE property, they're all about making money.
Oh, right, the Vince McMahon type.
Yep, including off of their own students, so there are excessive fees to join the dojo. So he briefly entered a career in pornography.
You know what, that mustache, okay, makes sense.
He was a successful porn star for a time. He briefly got into underground fighting also, with Oolong as his coach, who had seen him in his porn videos. Because Oolong was the one who pushed him to use his porn moves as fighting moves.
Now, is this like a blood sport type of underground fighting, or...
Yeah, this is full-on UFC octagon.
I wanted to give him a Mr. Miyagi character who would say, like, you've been doing this training all along with your sex moves.
But, like, is killing legal in this underground?
Definitely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he has killed before with his penis.
God.
Specifically.
His dynamite dick.
What? Yeah, his dynamite
dick.
That was his porn name, was Dynamite Dick.
I love it.
And I think that brings us back up to now.
He's been accepted into the school of Satan.
Oh, also briefly, in case it ever comes up again, I don't think it will, but we talked a little bit about his relationship with Videl, and his activity with her is to take her to the king's house, King Furry, and just let her, like, pet him, like, at a zoo.
That's very wholesome, I approve.
Because King Furry is also a fan of his illicit adult tapes.
Is his porn career just gonna be his end to most things?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
That's how he's recognized, at least. Yeah. Like,
for now.
Nobody acknowledges that that's where they know him from, but they definitely have seen him around.
Where do I know you from?
Yeah. And as of last week, he has joined the Satan Dojo officially, and we gave him a rival, because you need a rivalry if you're a wrestler.
What's his name again?
So we have introduced, I don't remember his if we gave him a real name, but he is Beelzarok.
Duh.
Can you hell what Beelzarok is cooking?
Okay.
Was our pun.
All right.
If you have, you are more of a wrestling expert than either of us.
Yeah. We're
if you have better options, I'm all ears for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, Beelzarok is part of a stable. Oh, what should we call it? A stable? Yeah, a stable is what you call a group of wrestlers who have formed a party, I guess you could say.
A team, basically.
Yeah, a team. Mm-hmm.
A crew.
They do not wrestle all together at once, but they support each other in pretty much any scenario where the support would be needed.
They're like the Z-Warriors.
Exactly. Yeah, we definitely need Hercule to have his own Z-Warriors.
And they're just all scumbags?
In the Satan Dojo.
Okay. Oh, so instead of the Nation of Domination, it would be the Nation of Damnation?
Definitely.
Oh, okay. Big fan. And
any that's... other members in this crew?
Oof.
And if you want to make inversions of the Z-Warriors, bonus points.
Well, we've already got Non-Yamcha.
I was gonna say we have Non-Yamcha, and speaking of, I think he should, eventually make it into the same dojo. He's gonna have to do some work on the side. I don't necessarily think we need to figure that out, but I think Piguro can also join Satan Dojo.
He absolutely will.
As like, an up and comer.
Like as soon as this episode ends, he just goes straight to the dojo and joins.
That's where he was driving to.
Yeah, he took all the money he'd saved up with those kids and decided to pursue his dream in martial arts.
You're a scumbag and you like fighting. Welcome!
You'll fit right in. Can we come up with a hell-themed fighting name for him?
For Nanyamcha?
Yeah, and I don't want to keep... it seems too simple to just keep using it, but the first thing that came to mind was Damcha.
That's not bad.
I mean, that's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
Can we just have the Undertaker in there?
Yeah, sure, why not?
It's just straight up the Undertaker.
Yeah,
We've had wrestlers show up in Scooby-Doo movies. I don't see why one can't show up in Dragon Ball Z.
he'll be part of the Nation of Damnation.
Any other shenanigans that Mark can get up to this week?
I think he's just trying to... Maybe he's scouting the...
He's scouting people to take on the Nation of Damnation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Getting some support. Has he done any matches yet? Like any exhibitions or anything?
He could have done some dark matches.
Not for TV.
Yeah. some stuff to see if what's the Vince McMahon type's name again?
Vince McSatan. That one was yours. You get to take credit for that one. I'll never let you forget.
Shit. he's got to prove his worth to Vince McSatan. Mm-hmm. do some dark matches off camera.
They already know he's great on camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a fucking resume in his hand, and he's just on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He can tear a man down with just a minute of talking.
They weirdly get stomach aches whenever he does.
Yeah,
and claim food poisoning that he's not related to in any way.
No.
Cream will always rise to the top.
The mark will always hit his mark.
Any other character development that we need to think about for him? Mm-hmm. What kind of forward progress can he make as a person?
He needs to get like absolutely beat down. Mm-hmm. By I've already forgotten the Rock's name.
Beelzerock.
He needs to get an absolute beat down by Beelzerock.
He needs to be humbling.
He needs to be taken to his lowest point.
I feel that.
Because a rivalry isn't worth watching. You know, the hero hasn't reached a low point.
Question, is he the hero?
Good point.
I don't see how that's a question. Yes.
I mean, he does eventually become champion of the world. So,
Savior of the world, he
would be built up as the face, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, even if he's using absolute heel tactics, he's still the hero.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just true to DBZ. Any news on Videl?
Just wondering.
She's still living with Mom?
Oh, yeah.
Is she interested in fighting yet?
I don't know. Do you think she would watch, martial arts tournaments or something? Or do you think, Videl's mom would discourage that in the same way that Gohan's mom does?
There's two kinds of moms in the world. There's Chi-Chi's and there's Bulma's. That's all we know.
And then they're just absent.
Did they tape the World Martial Arts tournaments?
I would assume they're televised.
They're the biggest thing, right? This is the World Martial Arts Tournament.
I want to say there are often cameras by the announcer guy.
In the show proper. Who is she a fan of from the old days?
Oh, I don't know any of the old martial arts tournaments, so y'all have to get out
of this
one.
What is her name? The one that fought...
Ranfan.
She is a fan of Ranfan.
She's a fan of the lady who took her clothes off.
Yep.
She's a Ranfan fan.
Unfortunately, she's the most powerful woman to show up in a martial arts tournament.
Unfortunately, until Videl does.
Yep.
Years later.
I guess this is. I don't know.
I guess Chi Chi did once. Also, that's not.
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah, that's true. But she got her ass beat by Goku really hard. But also, I have, a small place in my heart for Ranfan, because she's apparently what inspired Eiichiro Oda to become an artist.
That's a weird interview,
have you heard
man.
That?
Yeah.
That's the One Piece guy, right?
Yes, yeah. Without Ranfan, we would not have One Piece.
Without specifically Ranfan's armpits, I don't know if you recall the interview.
I do remember that part.
Wow.
But he was just so transfixed by the rendering of the armpits that he decided to become a manga artist.
He was
as well.
Amazed that Toriyama went to such detail.
That's alarming.
if you couldn't tell just by looking at One Piece that Oda is kind of a weirdo, this is all the confirmation you need.
Yayo, yayo.
You get the hell out of my house.
Dreaming. I was gonna say like Krillin or somebody like sideline is who Videl rooted for as a kid, and she just didn't recognize him when he had hair.
Yeah, nice.
Just a huge Krillin fan.
Just so he secretly never mentions it because you know you can't. You're not supposed to meet your heroes.
Exactly. She's just too starstruck to approach. Does she even ever speak to Krillin?
I was going to say, you could probably find proof that she has never had a single line of dialogue with him.
Let's check in on the Dragon Radar. Jason, Dragon Radar, where are the Dragon
Welcome
Balls?
Welcome to the Dragon Radar, where our active segment where we meticulously track every Dragon Ball. They're all at Kami's house.
Okay.
They're all in
one
place.
We found them in between episodes.
Yep. Great. Bulma's really good at this.
She's got it down to a science.
Can you cite your source, please?
The Bulma's really good at it.
The radar.
She got a radar
that she built that tracks the energy of Namekian orbs.
Mm-hmm.
She's got I was orbs. Hoping you would quote the line where they say, "Here we have all the Dragon Balls."
Is that literally what they say? I forgot.
I'm pretty sure.
Here we have them all, in case you can't count, listener.
In case the background painter didn't manage to get all seven of them in one.
Don't worry, they're all here.
They're all Wink. Here. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Z isn't necessarily about the gathering of them. I feel like that was more Dragon Ball Originals jam.
Definitely was
the mm-hmm. original, the journey, the adventure. This is more just like, all right, here's our magic button. We either have all of them or we have.
In lieu of forward progress on finding the balls, which I guess we got, like we have them this week, I usually try to bring up some like minutia about the balls or the dragon, but I'm coming up dry this week. Do you guys have any like thoughts on the mechanics of the balls themselves or the dragons?
Well, I know this dragon's name is Shenron.
Mm-hmm.
Have you brought up that they're limited by their creators?
We brought up that they are they have like Bulma proof rules basically.
Well, I mean like there are wishes that cannot be granted.
Do we have any rhyme or reason to that that you know of?
They pretty much just said it's limited to the power of the person who created it.
Right, but as for what those limitations are,
the only ones I can think of is like specifically, I know the Earth Dragon has said he can't bring back. Like an entire planet of people.
Yeah.
And he specifically couldn't turn Android 18 and 17. You.
Right. I was going to bring that one up.
Which that one is a bullshit one and I always hated
it. It is insane that is a rule.
Yeah.
Like he.
What do you mean? You could just put them back to where they were before they returned Android.
His limitations currently, vis-a-vis like death and life and shit like that, is that he can raise somebody once, but he can't re-raise them if they've died a second time. Which kind of makes sense. Like, you can't cheat death over and over. This dragon can only do so much for you. Like, he can only pull so many afterworld strings. And a whole planet is just asking too much. But changing an android into an organic human again, like removing the android bits, is beyond my power.
They were once human.
Yeah. Like, they're just augmented.
They're cyborgs.
Can't do it. Well, can you take the bomb out? Yeah, I can do that.
No worries.
Wish again next year and I'll take out a different piece.
Now, there is kind of an explanation delivered in GT.
Not canon.
I don't know if you want to consider that. But
not at all.
I do hate that arc. The dark dragons.
Yeah, the wish dragons.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff, or there's a lot of like good ideas in GT that they just do not capitalize on. The dragons being probably the biggest one. Jason, I don't know if you know what we're talking about at all.
Not a clue.
It's the final arc.
Isn't so like each, there's like a Shenron for each Dragon Ball or something?
Yeah, they're all born from a wish in the series.
Uh-huh.
Like they all correspond to a wish that's been made.
Like they specifically cite the time that Oolong wished for panties.
Right. Gave birth to one of the dragons.
Really?
Yep. So Oolong created one of the greatest evils of the world.
The cool idea that's there is that this thing that they've been using throughout the life of the series is now the thing that is going to destroy them all.
It had consequences.
Yeah, right. There's some comeuppance to using the Dragon Balls as much as they did, is that they created these evils, which is a great idea and a great way to end the story of Dragon Ball, but the dragons are just, I don't know.
They were so lame.
Yeah, it's just lame. It just falls
like
on
until
its face.
Until they got to Ultimate Shenron, or Omega Shenron. And even then, that's like, it's just a big gray version of the Hulk covered in spikes.
Yep, GT ends on a wet fart, kind of the same way that it started. But thank you all for listening again this week. Jason, where can people find you on the internet?
On the internet, you can find me on my Twitter and my Tumblr at jcalves, J-A-Y-C-A-L-V-E-S.
Matt, how about yourself?
You can find me on Twitter at monumentusmatt. You can find me on Instagram by DefineProg.
And you just recently did a very cool tribute to Dragon Ball Super on Twitter.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
As of this recording, it'll be a few weeks before anybody hears it, but
it'll probably be buried by the time you want to find it.
Yeah, just go look through his art. You'll find it.
Yeah, it's there.
You can contact this show at destructodiscourse@gmail.com with any comments, critiques, anything that you want us to read, and we'll give it a look-see. You can also find me at my other podcast every Tuesday and Sunday, which is called What the Folklore, where myself and my two roommates read some folklore from around the globe and riff on it, sort of Mystery Science Theater 3000 style.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, go check that out. And as always, Jason, what should the folks who enjoy this show do?
Listen, we need reviews out there, but not just any reviews.
Uh-huh.
We need 4-star reviews.
And why is that?
Because that's the 4-star ball, the Gohan ball. Give us the Gohan.
Give us Gohans.
Go, go, Gohan.
Go, go, Gadget Gohan. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week with another episode of Destructo Discourse.
Oh, let me do this while I still can. Tune in next time on Destructo Discourse. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hesitate. Don't wanna search the earth within a blood of magic surprise. Oh, chala, chala, be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Oh, chala, chala, no time to